Good evening, everyone. This is Sister Velma Sanders, teacher of the Contemporary Bible class, and I'm glad to meet with each one of you on this evening as we study together from God's Word. We are currently studying the Gospel according to Luke. I think most all of you know that, but if we happen to have any new persons joining us, we welcome you. Myself as the teacher and on behalf of the entire class, we welcome you. Anyone is invited to join this class, whether they are a newer believer, whether they are seeking salvation, or whether they have been walking with the Lord for some time. We are glad that you're here. We welcome you. Anyone can grow in the Word of God. If you're in the Word of God, one thing about God's Word and studying the Bible by the power of the Spirit, this is a work of the Spirit. It doesn't matter really what level you're on, whether you're a babe, whether you're more mature, whether you're on milk or whether you're on meat. The Lord can feed each one of us from the very same verse. He can cater it individually to our personal need. And that's a beautiful thing that the Spirit of God does. And it could be even children could be in the Bible study, men, women, whoever it may be. The Word of God speaks to all mankind. So I welcome you again. We have a lot to do as we usually do. 1 hour of class from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. each Sunday evening. On last week, we had a supplemental time after class for comments and questions, and that turned out to truly be a blessing. So we will be doing that periodically. We won't do it all the time because we just want, not right now. But periodically, as the Lord leads, we will have supplemental time for questions and comments. So as we start this new chapter on this evening, we are beginning chapter 15. And as we begin chapter 15, as we progress through the chapter, if you have any comments, our question that you may have as we're on our journey, jot it down. And when we do have time for our questions and comments, well, by the time we get there, your question may have been answered or it may change for whatever the reason. But just take note if perhaps there's a comment or a question that you may have for the class to hear or a comment for teacher and the class to hear, make a note of that. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just want to glorify your name. And Lord God, I just ask you to calm my heart, be still my soul, and know that God is on the throne. We praise you, Lord God, the Almighty God. You are worthy, eternally worthy to be praised. And we ask you now, Spirit of the living God, to truly fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, breathe on us. Breathe on me, even me now, Lord God, your peace and your calmness, Father. Help me not to be rushed, to feel rushed or hurried or nervous, Lord God. Just be still my soul and know that God is on the throne. I praise you and I give you glory. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the teacher. You are our teacher. And we ask you now to speak to us, Lord God, each one of us. We thank you for being with us all the day long. All day long, Lord God, we have been in your care and you have provided for us. And we want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you that even when our mind may have been on something else, Lord God, that we're never distracted from your love. We thank you, Lord God, that you always, Lord, are seeing about us with full 100% attention. How we thank you and how we praise you. Lord God, we pray for the needs of each one in class. Whatever the needs may be, you are God who is able to supply every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We pray for the absent part of us, Lord, those who are part of the class, but for various reasons, they can't be with us tonight. But we remember them, Lord, and we pray that all is well. We pray for that group of people who are to be part of this class. And maybe they've never even been to the class, not even one time, but they are to be part of this class. We ask you to, by your Spirit, to lead. You are the shepherd of the sheep, and you lead and you guide into the green pastures that you have for each one of us. And now, Father, we look forward to hearing what you have to say through your Son, Jesus Christ, the written word, as well as the living word of God. And when it's all said and done, Lord God, we'll look back and we hope to say, and we believe we will say, by the Spirit, it is good that we were here. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening again to those of you who have joined us on this first Bible class in Luke chapter 15. I hope that you have your Bibles. As you know, this is a Bible class. And I always like to say, if you're ever in a Bible study and you don't need your Bible, well, that's a cue where you need to get into another Bible study. Any Bible study should use the Bible, but you'd be surprised. There are some that don't open the Bible. But this truly is a Bible study. Our home base now is the 15th chapter of Luke. I will be introducing the chapter. Some of you have read the chapter before. Others of you may have not. I encourage you to read the chapter if you have not read it before. I also encourage you to read the entire Gospel of Luke, our Gospel according to Luke. Some of you may have never even read from chapters 1 through 14. If that is the case, I encourage you to do that. Read those chapters. Regardless, if you have not read the chapters, that's okay. God still speaks through his word. There's a lot that we have covered, and there's still more to cover on our journey through Luke. We started at chapter 1, and that's been actually several years ago now. But now we find ourselves in chapter 15. We will be perusing this chapter. We notice that there are 32 verses in the chapter. Luke, as we found out when we first started studying this book, that Luke is the longest of the four Gospels. Luke has more words in it than Matthew has more chapters, but Luke is the longest of the four Gospels. And each one of Luke's chapters have quite a few verses in it. And so on this evening, it is my goal, because it is our first evening in this chapter, that we read this chapter in its entirety. And I have asked certain ones if they will help to read along, to be readers, so we can cover reading the chapter in its entirety without comment. And we'll be doing that in a few moments. We're going to find out as we look at Luke chapter 15 that, well, let me say this as well. On my last Zoom invitation, I sent out three different versions of Luke chapter 15. And I try to, when we start a new chapter, I try to send you different versions of the scripture. Some of you have these Bibles in your home. I don't know how many versions of the Bible I have. I have quite a few. I wouldn't doubt if I have at least 10 different versions of the Bible. But I only send you out three versions, and they are New King James, which is the version we use for classroom. I send out as well New International Version, and I also send out the Message Bible, which is a translation. It is a translation. So those three versions I sent to you as an attachment on your last Zoom invitation. So if you did not see that, go back and look in your invitation. You can find all of these versions, of course, on the internet. And BibleGateway.com is an excellent website. It has all kind of Bible helps on it. So I did send you those versions. Well, let's begin today. This chapter 15, as I introduce the chapter, there are well-known verses and well-known passages that are in this chapter. Most all of us who have been in church any length of time have heard, we don't know how many sermons on the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son is found in Luke chapter 15. We have heard myriads of sermons and teachings on him. So we'll meet up with him, and we'll meet up with several other characters in this chapter. We'll begin this evening by reading the chapter. That's a good place to start, is by reading the chapter in its entirety. And I have asked, as I said, several readers if they would read, and I want to make sure each one is here. When it is time, your time to read, I want to ask that you unmute yourself and please read from the New King James Version of the Bible. When it is your time to read, please make sure that you're already unmuted and just go ahead and read and make sure to speak up so we all can hear you. Our first reader, and I'm going to use the names of the names that you have on your Zoom screen, and I'm only saying your names because even though we're virtual, we're still our family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to try to get to know each other, even on Zoom, even if it's just by a picture or perhaps a phone number, but more so by a picture or a video. We still want to have a classroom environment, and we want to have a family environment. And so our first reader this evening is Patricia Galvin, and she will be reading for us Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. Our next reader, and I believe she's here, is Sister Arlene Johnson, and Arlene will be reading for us verses 8 through 10. And then BJ and Beverly Jordan, husband and wife, BJ will be reading, and I'm calling him BJ because that's what's on his screen. BJ will be reading verses 11 through 19, and Beverly Jordan, his wife, will be reading verses 20 through 24. And then to end our reading in this chapter, Deacon Wendell Young will be reading verses 25 through 32. And I encourage the rest of you to just follow along. Amen. So, Sister Galvin, when you're ready, just go ahead and get started with verse 1.
Okay. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance."
Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents."
Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his like livelihood. And many days after the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and then wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him out into his fields to feed swine. And when he gladly had filled his stomach with the pods that this one ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like the ones of your hired servants.
Like one of you. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed from your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is again alive, and was lost and is found.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Amen. It's good to read God's word, and we just did that. And God's word stands, and we say, blessed be the word of the Lord. Thank you for reading for us. Well, as we look at this chapter, Luke chapter 15, as I said earlier, this chapter has within it many passages that we have heard before, verses we have heard, many sermons we have heard, many songs have been sung, teachings have been taught from Luke chapter 15. Let's look at it and put it in outline form, and it kind of outlines itself. In Luke chapter 15, we start out in verses 1 and 2, and I'll just say that's introductory. Luke, the narrator, is writing. If you have a red letter Bible, that's in black because that's the narrator. So Luke is the narrator. He's the one that was penning what happened. He wrote this gospel, the gospel according to Luke. So Luke verses 1 and 2, chapter 15 is introductory. I'll come back and say more on those verses in a moment. Then we look at verse 3, and verse 3, we can see the shift here. It says, so he spoke. And now we're going into another part of the chapter, and this would be, so it says in verse 3, so he spoke this parable. Notice it says this parable. One time it says parable. Now, even though it says this parable, and you would insinuate from that that it's one parable, but we'll find out actually there's more than one parable, but really it's one, because these parables and these verses have within them one common thread and a common theme, and we'll be seeing that as well. So there is parable for the sake of our study and for our outline, There is parable number one, and it is in verses 3 through 7. And it is the parable of the lost sheep. And we've heard about the 99, and the shepherd went out to seek for his sheep all through the night on a cold mountain peak. So verses 3 through 7 is parable number one about the lost sheep. And then in verse 8, there it says, or what woman? There's the Bible giving its own outline again, parable number two. And verse 8 says, or what woman? And so now we're not talking about a sheep. Now in verse 8, it's talking about a woman. And she lost a coin. And so this is the parable of the lost coin. And it is found in verses 8 through 10. Then we get to verse 11, and Luke says, then he said, so now we're getting ready to run into the third parable. Then he said, a certain man. Now we're talking about a man. And this man had two sons. And that would be the final parable, the parable of the lost son, more commonly known as the prodigal son. And the word prodigal is in one of these verses. Let me see if I can find prodigal real quick. It's in one of these verses. Prodigal, 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 prodigal. He, prodigal, prodigal, prodigal. Verse 13 says at the very end, prodigal living. And it's commonly called the parable of the prodigal son. And so the outline for the chapter, it is introduction and three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. We're going to find out, actually, there's some more parables that are within this one. And so we see this is going to have something to do with the word lost. Now, there are common words that go all throughout this chapter. All throughout this chapter, there are common threads. And if you had a tapestry, and I'm going to give you some words right now. If you had a tapestry with like embroidery or cross stitch, or it could be a puzzle, or it could be an oil painting, and something where you have a canvas and different colors. And say you have one color for the word sinner. That would be one of the key things or key words that we're going to see in this passage of scripture is the word sinner. So if you're taking notes, that's key word sinner. Another key word is the word lost. And really, we'll find out it's a synonym for sinner. It's the word lost. Another key word that's going to show up is the word dead, D-E-A-D, the word dead. And we'll see that word show up. Another key word is the word repent. Repent, very key word in this chapter. And then the word found. We saw the word lost, and we'll also see the word found. Another key word in this passage, if you're talking about emotions and you think about emotions, when something is lost, you know, when you lose something, you have a different set of emotions than when you find something. And the emotion that comes along with found is the word joy. And so we'll see those threads going all throughout this chapter. If I had to put my own theme on this chapter and my own subject, which I encourage you to do when you're reading through the Bible, whether it's a particular passage or an entire chapter, it would be good to get in the habit to read the chapter, to familiarize yourself with the chapter, and then to think, what is this chapter saying to me? What is key to this chapter? Well, for me, my theme for this whole chapter is Christ Jesus receives sinners. That is my theme for this chapter. Jesus Christ receives sinners. Now, you may ask, well, how did you get that topic? Well, let's look at it here for a moment. In Luke chapter 15, starting out here, we're just starting out, but we notice in verse 1 says, and you know, we like to pay attention to every word of the Bible, of the scripture. We can't stop at every word and expound on every word. We don't have enough time. There's not enough time in the world to do that. But we notice the first word in verse one is then. And so this is it's going on. The narrative is going on. The passage is moving on. And it says, then all the tax collectors. And so chapter 15 is linking up with chapter 14. And as I've told you, just because it has a chapter number in our Bibles, like chapter 14, if you know, go back, and you all know this, chapter 14, when it started, there's a great big 1 and a 4, 14. Chapter 15, 1 and a 5. And you may think, subconsciously think, this is disconnected from the other chapters. Not necessarily so. Sometimes it is a completely new thought, but many times, especially in the Gospels, it's a narrative that is continuing. So in chapter 15, it says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So that's our introductory verses. Well, let's look at these verses a little closer. It says, then all the tax collectors. Now we need to back up. So let's back up towards the end of chapter 14. And at the end of chapter 14, verse 34, it says, now Jesus is, as it were, surmising what he had just spoken. He had talked about thinking about, considering, counting the cost before you go into war, counting the cost before you build a tower. He had been talking to the Pharisees about making sure that you make it to the kingdom of God. Jesus had been in the Pharisees' house, and he had spoken to them. And they had a meal. We know all about that from chapter 14. And Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. Then we found out in chapter 14, verse 25, great multitudes came. And so we see first in chapter 14, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the lawyers. But then in chapter 14, verse 25, great multitudes came. And when the multitudes came, in verse 25, chapter 14, now great multitudes went with him. And we found out they're traveling. Jesus was traveling. And this multitude of people were with Jesus. And then in chapter 14, verse 25, it says, Jesus turned and said to them. And we talked about discipleship and what it meant to be a disciple. When Jesus started talking in chapter 14, verse 26, he kept right on talking, all red letter. Jesus is talking red letter from verses 26 all the way to the end of that chapter. But then it says, then. It's not really a break there. You might think it's a break because you go to chapter 15 and it goes back to black letter. But it didn't say there was any break in the time. The narrative keeps going. So Jesus had spoken and he had talked to them about discipleship. Now, when verse chapter 14 ended, Jesus says in verse 34, salt is good. And we found out really that's a parable. It's a parable about salt. What is a parable? A parable is an earthly story or earthly object that has spiritual meaning. Some earthly story or earthly topic or earthly item that has spiritual meaning. So we can see in chapter 14, verse 34, this is a parable. It's a truth. It is a truth. Salt is good in relationship to this parable here. Verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Now, that's a question that Jesus has put on the table. He first of all says, salt is good. And we would say, amen. Salt flavors things. Salt preserves things. Salt has a lot of good uses. So Jesus says salt is good, but if the salt has, now look at this next word. This next word is the word lost. And see, lost is one of the key words in chapter 15. But if you're not careful, you'll think, well, it's three parables about three lost things. And in chapter 15, the lost things are the lost coin. So let's find that word lost in chapter 15. And when we look at starting at verse 3, that's the start of the parable of the lost sheep. So in chapter 15, beginning at verse 3, where do we first of all see that word lost? Well, we first see that word lost, verse 4. Verse 4 says, what man of you having 100 sheep if he loses one of them? And so there it didn't say lost, but it means lost. He loses one of them, all right? So now we can see, oh, there's a tie here. It's still flowing. Chapter 14 ended with Jesus talking about something that could be lost. And what was it that could be lost in chapter 14? Well, in chapter 14, verse 34, salt is good. Yes, it is. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? So what's lost in chapter 14 is some salt that lost its flavor. Was there any remedy for that salt? You know, we're going to find out with the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, there was a remedy. There was a remedy such as what? Well, for the lost sheep, what was the remedy? What was the outcome? Well, we find out in chapter 15, verse 4, for what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Well, see, that's different from that salt, because the salt, was there a remedy to the salt? Well, let's look back, because it says in chapter 14, verse 34, salt is good. But if the salt gets lost, if the salt loses its flavor, there is no finding it. There is no remedy. The salt, how can it be seasoned? It is just no good at all. And so verse 35 says, chapter 14 at the end, it is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. So that's letting you know what? It is lost forever. It is neither fit for the land nor fit for the dunghill. But men do what? Throw it out. No remedy for lost salt. If it loses its flavor, there is no remedy. It is not fit for the land, no good on earth. It has no good purpose at all on the earth. It's not even good for the dung heap, for the trash heap. But what do you do with this salt once it loses its flavor? You throw it out. And now here comes the warning to all of us and everyone listening is strive to enter in. Keep on pressing on the narrow way. Keep on keeping on with Jesus. Don't lose your salt. It says here, now verse 5, chapter 14 at the end, says he who has ears to hear. It's a warning. Jesus is sounding the trumpet, as it were. He who has ears to hear, listen, listen, listen. Don't take things for granted. You got to keep on the way. You have to keep on the road with Jesus. Follow me. And that follow me, as I said last week, is from the call of salvation, repentance, all the way to the day of our death. We are to keep on following Jesus. And we've said more about that. We know there are carnal Christians. There are baby Christians. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin along the way. That's in a whole different category. We're not talking about losing salvation. Not talking about losing salvation. Once a person is truly born again, salvation cannot be lost. But on the other hand, we do want to say, you can't just say, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, and then go on your merry way doing whatever you want to do. You have to keep on. That's the warning of Scripture, is keep on following Jesus. So the first thing we see lost actually occurs in chapter 14. And what was lost? It is salt that lost its flavor. And the salt has no remedy. Now let's follow this key word, lost. Well, lost, we saw, appears in chapter 15, verse 4, where the sheep was lost. And then if we keep on going in verse 6, because this word lost is going to appear quite a few times. In verse 6, well, let's pick up the opposite of lost. Verse 4 says, when it is lost, he goes after it until he finds it. Until he finds it. Well, that's different from the lost salt. The lost salt, there is no finding it, that lost salt. Verse 5, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. So there's those key words. The key words are lost, and the key words are found. And that's all throughout chapter 15 is what's lost. Well, there was a son that was lost. There was a sheep that was lost. There was a corn that was lost. And then we see, as we saw here, the sheep was found. The sheep was found. Well, when we keep going in verse 8, we'll see the same thread continues. Verse 8 says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it. So once again, there was a losing of a coin. There was a search. There was some time that elapsed in there. There was a search. And the time frame word is search carefully until she finds it. And I believe when you go back to verse four says, and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. Now, if you were drawing a diagram on a chalkboard, say you're going to draw a painting, or maybe you're going to have a drama or a play. Well, you would have these sheep, and think of people now. You would have these 100 sheep, and of these 100 sheep, or maybe 10 coins, one of them did what? Went astray. One of them did what? Got lost. Both the corn and the sheep got lost. And then there was a separation in here. And we'll say more about that later. Let me stay on these key words. So the key words is lost. A key word is found. It is continuing on. This lost is continuing on from chapter 14. That's one of the main things I want you to see, is this is not completely separate from chapter 14. Now, I'm going to get back to these key words, but let's look at chapter 15, verse 1 again. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, then all the tax collectors, see, Jesus was talking. He was talking in chapter 14. The multitudes are there. And evidently, the tax collectors and the sinners, it said, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Let me read that again. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. See, it's the same passage, but the passage is moving on. And while Jesus was talking in chapter 14, here comes groups of people now. We're going to notice these different groups of people, these different characters. Verse 1, who's the character? They're characters. They are the tax collectors. And the tax collectors, no doubt, were already in the crowd. But now they're doing what? What are the tax collectors doing? They're drawing near to him, drawing near to Jesus. Who else is the character? Well, it says in verse 1, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him. And so we have on our play, in our drama, on our chalkboard illustration, we have characters. We have the tax collectors. We have the what is called the sinners. We have the sinners, but it doesn't end there. It says in verse 1, all the tax collectors, all the sinners, they did what? They drew near to him. They're already around him, because we saw that in verse 25, chapter 14, verse 25. Great multitudes went with him. And then Jesus had something to say to them. Well, that multitude of people is still there. They are still there. But now chapter 15 is going to break out who's in that group of people. Chapter 15, verse 1 tells us it's tax collectors and sinners. And the tax collectors and the sinners, did they do what? Well, notice chapter 14, verse 25. 14:25, great multitudes went with him, and he turned, Jesus turned, and he said to them, and we know he said, if you're going to come to me, you have to hate your father and your mother, your wife and your children, your brothers and your sisters. We talked about that. We studied that. And then Jesus said in verse 27, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And Jesus let us know you have to count the cost. He said in verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And you would think some folks left Jesus. Maybe they did. And probably some did, perhaps, I don't know. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to put me above everyone else. Well, it didn't say they left him. What it says is chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, then all the tax collectors, after what Jesus had just told them, all the tax collectors and the sinners did what? They drew near. That's a good thing. After Jesus had said, this is what it's going to cost you to be my disciple. Chapter 15 opens up by, it didn't say they left him. It says they drew near to him. And why did they draw near to him? Because it says right here in chapter 15, verse 1, they drew near. You ever draw near to someone to hear them? You know, sometimes we do that subconsciously. If you really want to hear something, you have to drown out all other noises. And you have to turn the TV down or the radio down. You may have to shut a window. You've got to get all those other obstructing sounds out of the way. And so this is what they're doing. They're drawing closer to Jesus. They're drawing closer to him to do what? To hear him. Because that's how chapter 14 ended. Chapter 14 ended with this warning. Chapter 14 ended with this admonition. He who has ears to hear, do you have ears to hear? He who has ears to hear, let him hear! Exclamation point. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners, they drew near to him to hear. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And if there's anybody we need to hear, we need to hear Jesus, because his words are going to stand forever. And so this one verse here, standing on its own, is a good verse. When you connect it with verse 35, the last verse of chapter 14, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the people did what? They drew near. Their whole posture shifted. They probably leaned forward or leaned over. They really wanted to hear him. And that's who you want to hear, and that's who I want to hear. We want to hear him. Remember the parable of the sower and the soil? They all heard. Now, what comes about as a result of hearing, that's a different issue. But at least the first step is hearing. Now, what does scripture say about hearing? Faith comes by hearing. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone has to preach the gospel. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone has to tell the truth. Somebody's got to speak the truth so people can hear. And that's the important job. We as Christians are to go forth doing what? Telling the message so someone can hear Jesus saves. Anyone called to preach is to proclaim the message of Jesus so people can hear what Jesus has to say. And so chapter 15, verse 1 is following on in chapter 14. It's hooking up together. They drew near. They drew near to him to hear him. Even after all he said, they wanted to hear. And you know what that says? Sometimes people, and I'll say those who bring forth the word, may be tempted to hold back from telling the whole truth, but we're responsible to tell the whole truth. What people do with it, it's on them. But at least the one who's supposed to tell the word shares the word so people can hear the word. And this group in chapter 15, verse 1, they drew near to him to hear him. Verse 2, and the Pharisees, here comes another group. They're in the crowd now. They came from somewhere. They didn't come from too far away because we saw them at the beginning of chapter 14. Remember chapter 14, verse 1? Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath that they watched him. They watched him closely. And we found out Jesus spent all day long. He talked to those Pharisees and the ruler of the Pharisees in the Pharisee's house. And he left that house. And if you all remember, I mentioned to you, that's the last time that we see Jesus in the house of a Pharisee. But they're still around. They show up in chapter 15, verse 2. And that verse says, and the Pharisees and scribes complained. And the Pharisees and scribes complained. Now, didn't Jesus just say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? That's what he said. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. One group did what? Drew near. You know, the Bible is a two-edged sword. You're either going to draw nigh, or it's going to, what they say, is going to draw you or drive you. That sword is going to draw you closer or drive you away. And here comes that double-edged sword, the word of God. One group drew near, but verse 2 says, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. That's what they said. Now, those are good words. The words are good. Those are shouting words for us as believers. What's so good about these words? The good news is this man, capital M, this man Jesus. This man Jesus receives sinners. And that's what the rest of this chapter is all about. The rest of this chapter is all about, whether you're talking about the coin, whether you're talking about the sheep, or whether you're talking about the son, Jesus receives sinners. He seeks after sinners. He lights the light for sinners. He goes after sinners. He goes into the wilderness to seek for that sheep. He looks under places. He likes a lamp. Isn't that what it said in verse 8? Verse 8, chapter 15 says, if she loses a coin, lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and search carefully until she finds it. Now, this passage, this chapter, this man, verse 2, this man, Jesus, receives sinners. That's where we stand. If you're going to get into Jesus, the family of God, it starts with repentance. And repentance is, and that's a key word in chapter 15, a key word in chapter 15 is the word repent, a turning around, acknowledging of sin, to turn from sin to God. And we see that word repent, I'm hurrying because our time is moving on. We see that word repent, it first of all appears in verse 7. In verse 7, talking about the lost sheep, verse 7 says, chapter 15, verse 7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And so it's still repentance. I heard not too long ago, and I kind of shuddered to hear it, but I heard someone in a high position that says, oh, you don't have to use the word repent because people don't know what repent means. Mm. I'm like, well, teach them. We're supposed to tell them. We're supposed to teach. We didn't know what any other words mean. We don't know what any of it means. You have to teach. You have to teach what a telephone is. We learned that early on. But everything has to be taught. The word is still repent. That's still the word. And that's a key word in this chapter. And so repentance, it starts with, well, if repentance is what it starts with, what does that tell you? That tells you, you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner. There must be some recognition of sin. There's no such thing as being saved without acknowledging I am a sinner. That has to come forth. It's the acknowledgement of sin. Now, I'm going to share a screen with you. I had more to share, and this is part of why I got a little hurried this evening right before class, because I did do a PowerPoint, but I did it on my desktop computer, and somehow the cloud got mixed up, and it didn't transfer to my laptop. So that kind of threw me off a little bit. So I ended up getting on my laptop to create one of the slides that I'm going to try to show to you right here. You all pray for your teacher. Your teacher needs prayer. Let's see here. Share screen. Okay. Share. Okay. Can you all see that? To be a sinner? Can someone unmute themselves and let me know they see the screen?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. To be a sinner. Key word in chapter 15. Now, if you have a pencil, I want you to write down these key words. That's not on this slide. But as you study chapter 15 on your own, look for these words. Think about these words. Define these words. Identify these words. See yourself in these words. The key words in this chapter is sinner, lost, dead, repent, found, and joy. Now, this slide here, the share screen I have, to be a sinner, and I put sinner in quotations mark, because that's the first step to being saved is to know you're lost, to know you're a sinner. A sinner is a theological word. When you hear the word sinner, you can go all day long, and you will not hear people say, she's a sinner. You may say she's a murderer, or he's a murderer, or he's a thief, or he's a crook, or he stole this, or he shot John, or he did that, or he did this. You can listen to the news all day, and you can hear all kinds of sins that were done, but you will never hear him say, she's a sinner. He committed a sin. They did a sin. They don't say that. It's a theological word that has to do, because it's going to lead on to repentance. is the acknowledgement that I am a sinner. And so a sinner is a theological term. It's a theological term, and it has to do with a person who offends the laws of God. It's an act against God. Sin is an act against God first. And in that sense, it separates from every other thing to be a sinner. I mean, you could say she's a murderer, or he's a murderer, or he's a thief, or he's a liar. And those are bad things. Those are sins. Those indeed are sins. But to say one is a sinner, that's encompassing the entire person. When you say she's a sinner, I'm a sinner, he's a sinner, that's the whole man. Whereas if you just said, well, she lied, well, that's one aspect of that person. They lied in that moment, but they are not the liar. That's Satan. But a person may lie. If one is a sinner, that's the whole of that person. The whole of that person is a sinner, one who has offended God, offended the law of God. Point number two, people say to be a criminal or to be whatever, oh, that's bad. That's horrible. She killed somebody. I just used that. But to be a sinner, this is what they'll say. If they do use the word sinner, it's in mockery or to laugh. I don't want to be saved. I'd rather be a sinner. You know, it's a mockery made of it, but it's a very serious thing to be a sinner. Point number two, people say to be a criminal, oh, that is horrible. But to be a sinner, well, we're all sinners, and they do not appear to think anything of that title, a sinner. Now, I want you to see a sinner as a noun. Like, my name is Velma Jean Sanders. That's my full name, Velma Jean Sanders. Now, a sinner, now when you think about it, you're going to either fall up under one of these names. You're either going to be declared the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, where you're going to move out of, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Under Adam, we're sinners. Okay, point number three, our time is moving, so I have to move. Point number three, unless the grace of God shall change the heart of a person, the day will come when they will think it would have been better to have been called an insect, an elephant, a lion, a fly, a bug, or anything, rather than to be called a sinner. You don't want to die a sinner. That's the worst thing you could die, is to be a sinner. Because next to the word devil, next to the word devil, there is no word which has so much that is in it that is dreadful than the word sinner. So sinner is a noun. It's also a verb. It commits acts. But sinner is that whole person. And the whole person, I'm going to turn off this share screen because our time is up. That whole person has to come to the acknowledgement that they have sinned before God. I am a sinner. And that opens the way to repentance. And you'll see that, and that opens the way to salvation. And you especially will see that it's in each of these three parables, but you will especially see it in the parable of the lost son. And so that's our opening introductory to this chapter. I encourage you to read the chapter on your own. I encourage you to think about the word sinner as a noun, and it's also a verb. It's a noun and a verb. And let me also say in our last minute here, and it is our last minute, we are not sinners. Those of us who are redeemed, we have a lot of titles. But one of our titles, because we have been born again, if any man be in Christ, we have moved out of Adam. We are no longer sinners. We are the righteous. And if you read Psalm 1, the first psalm, all of humanity falls into one or two categories. You're either in the congregation of the righteous, or the wicked. That's it. And once you're born again, You have many titles, but we're no longer sinners. But we may commit sins. We do commit sins. And that's why we confess our sins. But we are not sinners. We are saints that committed a sin. So that's the difference there. And you all, you can think about it, pray about it. If you have questions, feel free to email me. But our time is up, so we have to go. So I pray that you were blessed by the word. I pray that each one of you have come to the realization that I am a sinner, or I was a sinner, and I need a Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for bringing us to the knowledge that we have sinned and had sinned and come so short of the glory of God. But we thank you for the words of the Pharisees, and they meant it in mockery. They meant it to scorn, but they are good words. This man, Christ Jesus, receives sinners. And you know what else? He eats with them, and we're so glad. Now, Father, we ask you to carry us along the week, and may we walk with you and follow you. We pray be with each one of us. Keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
God bless everyone.
Amen.
God bless you.
Very powerful.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory.
Amen.
I hope to see you next week. Thank you, readers. Thank you. Good job. Thank
you. Amen.
Best of all.
Next week.
Have a good week.
Next week.
Bless everybody.
God bless you.
Bye.
Mr. Young, was Sister Cole on tonight?
Not tonight. I tried, but I didn't reach her.
Oh, okay. We try.
Thank you.
Yeah, but we'll continue, and I will fill her in and give her the notes.
Okay, good. God bless everyone.
God bless you too.
God bless everybody.
Bye.
Yes.
Just God bless everyone. All is well with me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Same here. All is well with me and my soul. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.